Some of the Mefarshim on Chumash point out that Bo Bigematria is 3, based on Aleph, and has the last 3 of the Es HaMakas. Okay, leaving out the Makas, you have Vayom Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon, the Eretz Mitzrayim Leymar, HaChodesh Azal Lachem Rosh Chodoshim. That's what Rashi in the beginning of Chumash quotes the Medrash, that the Torah should have really begun from this pasuk, from the beginning of chapter Yud-Beis. In Shmos, when it's mitzvah Rishonish and it's Tava by Yisrael, first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. This past Sunday morning, I gave the shiur for the Kol Yom Rishon, so I spoke for an hour on the mitzvah. The Rambam holds that this mitzvah, well, Rashi in his commentary on Chumash points out that Pasha Pshat HaChodesh HaZalachem, that this month of Nisan is month number 1, that the Jewish months and the Jewish calendar don't have names, they have numbers. The Ramban in his commentary on this pasuk, HaChodesh HaZalachem, quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the institution of names for the months, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, and so on, Shmos Chodoshim Heloi Mohem Yibovel, after the Golas Bovel, so they picked up from the Goyim the names of the months. So the Maskilim in Europe used to take this as a sign of assimilation. That already in the days of Ezra they assimilated, they picked up the names of the months from the Goyim. So what's so bad if we pick up all kinds of things from the Goyim? The Ramban HaChumash makes a whole mitzvah out of this. Ramban says this is not based on assimilation. Just like at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded the Jewish people to incorporate the Geula into the Luach, and Jewish history always begins with the month of Nisan, Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yisrael is Echad B'Nisan, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yom HaSolem is Echad B'Tishrei. So too, the Chachamim felt on the occasion of the Geula from Golas Bavel, after the 70 years of sitting in Golas Bavel, the Chachamim felt they have to incorporate a Zechad to the Geula from Golas Bavel into the Luach, so that's why they incorporated the Shmos Chadoshim. That's how the Ramban says on Chumash. So the simple pshat in the pasuk HaChodesh HaLachem is referring to the month of Nisan, is month number 1. And we don't have the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we didn't have names for the months. The months were known by their numbers. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes U'midrashoi, in addition to the simple level of pshat, the midrashoi is that the word zeh always referring to something that you can see. That you can be marabet, but how can you say this month of Nisan? You can't see a month, you can't point with your finger. So that's in addition to the Pshut Shal Mikro, that the Pasuk is referring to the month of Nisan. There's an additional level of interpretation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed a moon to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam, the beginning of Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, writes that he showed the moon to Moshe Rabbeinu Memar HaNevuah. The Mechilta, Poshe Pshat in the Mechilta is that it wasn't the Mar HaNevuah. The Mechilta seems to say that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuahs were always in the daytime, not at nighttime. Other Nevi'im would have a halom at night time. They would go to sleep and they have a vision at night. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was behokitz v'lo b'halom. His nevuahs were in the daytime. So the Mechilta has a problem. How can it be? How can you show the moon in the daytime? The moon doesn't shine in the daytime. So the Mechilta answers it was late in the day, right before Shkia. So the additional level of interpretation that the Chachamim see in this pasuk is HaChodesh HaZalachem is referring to Kiddush Shalavana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the moon, either the Mar HaNevuah, the way the Rambam writes, the way the simple reading of the Mechilta is not the Mar HaNevuah. He showed him the real moon late in the afternoon on Rosh Chodesh, and he said, when you see the moon like this, you should be Mekadosh LeChodesh. So the Rambam counts this as a mitzvah. As the Rashi says, mitzvah Rishonish and Estava for Yisrael. What is the mitzvah? So the Rambam says, this is the mitzvah Kviyas HaLuach, that we have to have a Jewish calendar. The Jewish calendar, the Rambam writes, is sort of an androgynous. It's the months have to be lunar months and the years have to be solar years. The months have to be lunar months, corresponding with Chidush Shalavana, and the years have to be solar years. We want Pesach always to fall out in the springtime. The solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year, so if you're just going to have 12 months every year, so Pesach every year will be 11 days earlier, so sometimes it'll come out in the winter time, in the summertime, in the fall, in the spring, it'll keep on moving. Torah says no. Ayom atem nisim b'chodesh aviv, and Pesach always has to fall out b'chodesh aviv. So you have to see to it that, that's how the Rambam writes, you have to see to it that the year should be solar years and the months should be lunar months. So the Rambam counts this as one mitzvah, and the Ramban disagrees based on the halachas g'dolos. He says, no, these are two distinct mitzvahs. Kiddush HaChodesh is the mitzvah HaChodesh HaZalachem Reish Chadoshim, Nibra Hashanah is based on a different pasuk. It doesn't really make that much of a difference, but the Kiddush HaChodesh Nibra Hashanah, one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, a detail machlokes. The Rambam holds it one big mitzvah, Kviyas HaLuach, and the Ramban says they're two distinct mitzvahs, based on the halachas gedolos. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this nevuah to Moshe and Aharon. That they should constitute a bezin of two, but there is no such thing as a bezin of two. And bezin shokol, you can't have a bezin with an even number of dayanim. So it's self understood, you have to add a third person. The third person was some Jew. There had to be a mitzvah for a third person. So it wasn't necessary to mention him by name because he wasn't anybody special. So this is the pasuk that we have established in halacha that Kiddush HaChodesh requires a bezin of three. There is a comment, a famous comment from the Mechilta on this pasuk, that even when it says Vayom Hashem al Aharon, even when it says that the Nevuah was given to Aaron, is not to be taken literally. The Nevuah was really given to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell over to Aaron. This pasuk also Vayom Hashem al Moshe al Aharon, the Nevuah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The mitzvahs were only given to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is one of the Taryag mitzvahs that were given Lederus. No other Navi was given Torah. So it wasn't really given to Aaron. Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to be Mitzayr for Aharon, to the Bezna, and then Mimele to be Mitzayr for the third Bezna, and Bezna Shokol, to constitute the Bezna for the purpose of Kiddush HaChodesh. So there are several psukim in Chumash where it appears, like, Vayim Hashem al Aharon, Yayim Meshecher al Teish Tatov Anachit, Chabavacham Allah Moed, says it was given to Aaron, so Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, it's not to be understood literally. The Tzibur Yashem was really given to Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit to Aaron. It wasn't given to Aaron. The Mechilta says there are only three places in Chumash where you have to interpret that it was given to Aaron. You have no choice. So I just noticed today, I never saw it before, this two-volume set where they have a leaflet of things from the Vilna Gaon, Amor HaGadol. Somebody was in my shiur 40 years ago. And he still listens to the tapes. So it's on the 30th anniversary of his joining the Shir or something, he gave me a gift of these two svar. He said he's the longest student. He listens to the Shir by tape every week. So I just had a chance to look this morning. What are the three psukim in Chumash that the Hechreach you have to interpret that the Tzibur Hashem was given to Aaron, wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu? So different svarim give different suggestions, and over here he quotes from the Vilna Gaon that he thinks the three psukim are different. One is in Parsha Shmos, after HaKadosh Baruch appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in the burning bush, and then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Shlach Nami Atishlach, send my brother Aaron, he's a Navi, I don't want to be Masik Gula on Aaron. So the Rabbeinu Shalom appears to Aharon, and he tells him, go meet your brother Moshe. He's on his way coming back to Eretz Mitzrayim. So you can't say that the Nevuah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Aharon. They're not together. The Tzivui, the Rabbi Shlomo appears to Aaron to say, Lech Likras Moshe HaMidbar. You should go meet Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's one pasuk where you have no choice. Then the Vilna Gaon points out the other two psukim are in Parshas Bahaloischa, when HaKadosh Baruch appears to Aharon and Moshe and gives them Musar why they thought that they were as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. So that wasn't given to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Aharon. That was given to Aharon and to Miriam. And then another pasuk there also in the context of the Isaac with Miriam. There are two psukim there where it's the Hechreach, the Nevuah was given directly to Aaron, not given to Moshe to tell Aaron. It wouldn't make sense. Moshe Rabbeinu should tell Aaron, don't you know I'm the Adon HaNavim? So obviously the Nevuah was given to Aaron. It wasn't given to Moshe to tell Aaron, I'm the greatest man in the world. So that's what the Mechilta is referring to, apparently, that even when it says in the Chumash that Nevuah was given to Aaron, it's not to be taken literally, it means it was given to Moshe to give to Aaron, except for the three cases where Behechreach you have to learn otherwise. The Rabbanu Shalom commands Bnei Yisrael regarding the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is clearly a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. It's given, it's brought at a specific time. The Gemara has a machlokes satanayim regarding women, whether they're mechuyev in Pesach Rishon or it's only reshus, it's optional. The Pashtus, and Machlokes is based on Psukim. So the Pashtus, L'chorah, should be that based on the regular rule of Mitzvah Seses, Shazman Grama, Noshim Pturos, we should really have thought that women should be Potter from Korban Pesach. And the burden of proof should be on the other Tana. The Tana who says that Noshim Mamachliv in Korban Pesach, he should have to dig up a Pasuk to demonstrate a Noshim Mamachliv. You learn the Gemara in Psachim, Dav Tzadik on the base, he sees just the reverse. If you don't have any pasuk one way or the other, is that women are mechuyev in Pesach Rishon, and the burden of proof is on the other Tana. The Tana wants to say that Noshim Rishon Rishus, that women are not obligated. It's only optional. If women want to participate in Korban Pesach, they may if they choose to, but they're not mechuyev to. Then we're presented as if the burden of proof is on him. It's very strange. Shouldn't it have been just the reverse? The Ika Svarach Itzana should have been Fakir, that women should have been Potter. So it's very strange. The Sfasemis is the first one who asked the question. The Chidushim of the Sfasemis on Pesachim, Dav Tzadik and Beis, he asked the question. I didn't see that anybody before he asked him. Haloi Dovah was very strange. So the Sfasemis gives a very fascinating answer. He says that whoever doesn't bring Korban Pesach is Onush Kores. Sukim like that. And the first Mishnah in Krisis lists off all of the Lamed Vav Krisis, Hamuras, Batar, the 36 Averis, for which one is punished with Kares. If one violates it, so most of them, the overwhelming majority of them, are Lavim. Each one is a Lav, with two exceptions. One is Pesach and one is Mila. If a person, after Bar Mitzvah, the father is not Mal, the son is not Kares. But if the child is already after Bar Mitzvah and he doesn't arrange for his own bris milah, then he's punished with Koras, and whoever doesn't bring in Korban Pesach is punished with Koras. So it really, so the Sfasemis writes, it really doesn't make sense to say that there should be a punishment of Koras for one who fails to fulfill a mitzvah. The fact that this Koras, that should indicate that this is considered an Avera. What does it mean, an Avera? It means that a lot of times you have a Pasuk, it says you should bring a Korban Pesach, you should perform bris milah. So when sometimes it's unclear whether this is a kiyum essay or an iser essay. Sometimes there are psukim that it's clear what they're talking about. Let's say the Rambam counts as one of this Ramach mitzvah essay called tzipah tahara taychelu. You should eat kosher chicken. A mitzvah once a day, every day, to eat kosher chicken. What if a person wants to be a vegetarian? Doesn't matter. He wants to skip one day or he wants to not eat the chicken at all. Isn't that hey? So what happened to the mitzvah called Sipat Torah Tachelu? So the Raibid writes in the Asokas on the Minyan HaMitzvahs, but you have Asokas on the Sefer Mitzvah, just like you have Asokas HaRaibid on the Mishnah Torah. Sefer Mitzvah is the introduction to the Mishnah Torah. So the Raibid writes, that's an Iser Asay, that's not a Kiyum Asay. That's what the Rambam probably meant also, called Sipat Torah Tachelu. It's an Iser Asay. The Rambam writes regarding Shechita, that when one is interested in eating meat, he should shech the behemah v'zavachta kashet v'sicha. So the Raibid is masig on the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. He thinks that that's only an iser. Say, you're not allowed to eat ein hazvucha. V'zavachta kashet v'sicha is a matir, but it's not that it's a mitzvah. You should shech a chicken once a day. Every day, you shech the behemah is a mitzvah. So that's a question. What is the Rambam shita? The Kesef Mishnah defends the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Hasagas of the Raibid, just like the Kesef Mishnah defends the Rambam throughout the whole Mishnah Torah from the Hasagas of the Raibid. So the Kesef Mishnah defends the Rambam and says, no, the Rambam is right in counting Shechita as a mitzvah. Shechita is a kiyum mitzvah. It's a mitzvah kiyumus. Others say that the Rambam never meant it, that the Rambam meant the same as the Raibid. There's no machlekes over here. The Rambam also meant v'zavachta kasher tzivisicho, that Shechita is a matter. He's counting the institution of mitzvah. He didn't mean that to say that it's really a mitzvah lishcho. So sometimes Tashbisu is a question, and today said, Rachba Yom Rishon, Tashbisu is Zormi Batecha. Tashbisu is an Iser Asay, or Tashbisu is a Kiyom Asay. Which is it? Maybe it's both. Minchas Chinuch has a discussion about that, whether Tashbisu, an Erev Pesach, the mitzvah of Tashbisu, is a Kiyom HaMitzvah, or it's an Iser Asay, or it's both. Pashtus is that it's both. So here, this Fasemis writes Asvara, that to perform bris milah is a mitzvah saseh. We recite the bracha, Shekhadashana b'mitzvah b'tzimana v'ala milah. Obviously, it's a mitzvah saseh. But in addition to being a mitzvah saseh, it's probably also an iser saseh. It's not mistabit to say that a person is chayv kares for failing to fulfill a mitzvah. Mistabit they have to say, in addition to being a kiyum saseh, it's an iser asay as well. I mean, not the father. The father's never chayv kares for not performing the bris on his child. The child, after bar mitzvah, if he doesn't take care of his own bris milah, So he's punished with Kore. So Lachore, that means that there's an Isra say. He's violated and not there. And the same thing, Korban Pesach. Before you shech the Korban Pesach, and before you eat the Korban Pesach, you recite a Brichas HaMitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Shechita HaKrobas HaPesach, and a mitzvah of Achilas HaPesach. Two different mitzvahs. HaKrobas HaPesach and Achilas HaPesach. But the Pashtus is that there's an Isra say as well. Whoever doesn't bring Korban Pesach not only fails to fulfill a mitzvah, but probably is over an Aver. It's an Isra say. So that's what the Swasemis suggests. The Primogodim has a Sefer HaChumash that's called Tebas Goyma. And every parsha he has at least three Divrei Torah, Gimel Mem Aleph. One of the Divrei Torah is Gemara, one is a Medrash, one is Agoda. I'm not sure exactly. Adi Yom is that what's the difference between the Medrash and the Agoda? And every parsha has three Divrei Torah. So every so often I'll have more than three. I have four or five, but not too many. So in the Sefer Tevas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, in one place, Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Ha'oras, and Ilchas Bechaz Amozen, and Simakuf Peches, and Orachayim, refers you to this Tevas Gaima, that the Primogodim writes a svara that women are potter from mitzvah sasesh as man grama. Perhaps that only applies if it's only a kiyum asay. What if it's an isra asay? So just like women are muzer and lavim, even if the lav is as man grama. So perhaps the Primogodim thinks like this based on the Gemara and Sukkah. Perhaps the women are mechuyev to observe every isra asay, even if the isra asay is as man grama. So that's what the Sfasem is suggesting. Maybe since Korban Pesach carries with it a punishment of Koreis, so maybe that should be taken as an indication that it's not merely a mitzvah saseh, a kiyum saseh. In addition to the kiyum saseh, it's also an iser saseh. And even though it's an iser saseh, shazman grama, but women should be mechuyev. So that's why the Gemara assumes for Dovah Posha that women should be mechuyev in Pesach Rishon. And the Tana who says that it's a rishus, so the Gemara presents it as if the burden proof is on him. He has to prove it like that. Not the way we would have thought normally that a mitzvah says to shazman grama. Women should be potter. The Tana wants to say women are mechuyev. The burden of proof should be on him. So that's how this Fasemis explains. Afeinoy b'yosan nes is a very good question. Tosis raises that question with respect to sukkah. Other things that Tosis has different opinions. One opinion is afeinoy b'yosan nes is only a svarim mid the rabbanon, not a svarim mid haTorah. Another suggestion Tosis gives is it's a svar that only works on a mitzvah mid the rabbanon. Doesn't work on a mitzvah derais. But according to either of the two suggestions that Tosis made, you wouldn't be mechayev women min haTorah in Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is a mitzvah min haTorah, and the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, where the women are mechayev min haTorah to bring Pesach Rishon. Pesach Sheni not, the Gemara says, Noshim B'Sheni is Rishus. And Pesach Rishon is a machlokes hatanaim, where the Noshim B'Rishon Chayva, and Noshim B'Rishon Rishus. But the Pesach Rishon women are mechayev, or just the Rishus. There is a famous Tosfos Kasha in Kiddushin. Usually when you go to a bris, so the father of the baby has to say Divrei Torah. So usually, more than half the time, they're going to talk on this Kasha. The Tosfos in Kiddushin and Daf Chav Tes and Aleph has a Kasha that the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk that the mother is not obligated to see to it that her son has a bris milah. Only the father has such an obligation. And the Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk, B'yom Tzav Oso, Oso V'lo Oso, that Avram Avinu took care of the bris milah for Yitzchak and Sarah did not take care. The Amtzav Oso V'lo Oso, because the mothers are not mechuyev. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, we would have known our own that the mothers are not mechuyev in milas habein. Isn't it simply a mitzvah saseh shaz makrama? Of course women should be put. So Tosfos gives various suggestions. So the Sfasemis says, now he understands, that's Sfasemis, and Sochem, Tzadik and Beis. So now he understands what Tosfos meant in Megillah. Tosfos in Megillah quotes the same Kasha, Daf Chof from a base, and Tosfos says, maybe the teretz is that by Milo there's Koris. What does that mean? The fact that there's Koris by Milo, like by Korban Pesach, should indicate that Bris Milo is not only a Kiyum essay, it's an Iser essay as well. So because it's an Iser essay, so it should be like a Lois essay, that women should be Mechuyev, despite the fact that it's a Zman Grom. Like women are Mechuyev, Noshim are Muzer, and all Alavim. Even if the lav is Zman Grama. The reason why the other Bali Atosis didn't give that answer is because there's no Koris on the parent. The parent that doesn't take care of the bris milah is not punished with Koris, only the child. After he reaches bar mitzvah, if he doesn't arrange for his own bris milah, he'll be chai Koris. So that's what Atosis wasn't sure. Maybe true, the fact that there's Koris by milah indicates that there is an element of an Isser Asseh, but the Isser Asseh is only on the person himself, who's not Nemo. Maybe he doesn't go on the pit. Maybe the parent is only a Kiyomeser. There is no Yisr Eser. So he says, maybe these are the two opinions in Tosis. But by Korban Pesach, where the one who doesn't participate in Korban Pesach himself is Onush Kareis, so he says, that's the answer. That's an indication that you have an Yisr Eser involved. And Yisr Eser, even though it's a Zman Gram, a Noshim should be Mechuyim.
Is there a
strong
to say that the Noshim, the love of the
the Gemara says the first half of what you said is a holy statement that says in the Gemara. That's based on the Hekish. You have two dinim written in the same pasuk, so that has status of a Hekish. So it says you're not allowed to eat chametz, you should eat matzah. The pasuk in today's sedra, that's because it's in the same pasuk. Korban Pesach is not in the same pasuk. It's not in the next pasuk either. So you don't have any hekish. The hekish is between the matzah and the chametz. Yeah.
Why couldn't they
wear
seisins when they're chayav in? I assume when they're chayav in lows is brought from chametz down to the bay. Assume. If a woman has chametz on her shoes, she can't.
Okay. If the woman is the shochetet in the Beis Hamikdash, so she better be careful. The Sheikhet is over, and the Bailam are over, and everyone involved is over. The Mishnah lists off everybody is over, yeah. She may not necessarily be the Bala Korban. Maybe she'll be the Shochetet.
Right, but you see, because of that, she's going to Pesach, or
not necessarily. Not necessarily. Could be she has an opportunity to violate that law if she'll Shech the Korban Pesach with someone else. There is a line in the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Makkos in Perek Elohein Halokin. Rambam gives you a long paragraph there. Usually Pirush HaMishnayos is very brief. Once in a while he has a long paragraph, 20 lines, not so long. So he starts summing up all the lavim in the Torah. So he says, you should know that whenever there's kores, obviously there's a lav. So the Lecha Mishnah in Hilchas Sanhedrin, when the Rama talks about the Malkus on Lavim, Lecha Mishnah quotes this line from the Pirush HaMishnah and says he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's not true. The first Mishnah increases this stuff, the Lamed about Krisus Amuris Batara, and then he says that the Mishnah concludes that Pesach Vahamila, this chorus, despite the fact that there's no Lav, there's only an Asay. So what does the Rama mean to say that when you should know? He writes in the Pirush HaMishnah and Malkus, whenever this chorus, obviously there's a Lav. So I thought maybe all he meant was what this Fasemis meant. Maybe the Rambam just meant to say, whenever there's kores, it must be that there's an Isser. It doesn't have to be an Isser lav. An Isser Asay is also genug. Maybe that's what he meant. The Psukim and the Chumash distinguish between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kenaini with respect to, that's how the Gemara, on your own, you wouldn't be able to figure this out. But the Gemara points out that we distinguish between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kenaini as far as participating in Korban Pesach, yeah.
As far as Yom Kippur is concerned, Yom Kippur is the law, or it's only in Israel say to eat on Yom Kippur?
The Gemara learns that women are muzer in Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, just like men. That's the Prima Gadim's Gemara in the end of the second Perek in Sukkah. But the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that even though it should have really been a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, Nashim should have been potter, nonetheless you have a pasuk that says that women are mechuyev in tosefes Yom Kippur. So the Prima Gadim suggests maybe that's what it means. Maybe it's not an exception to the rule. Like hakel is an exception to the rule, and matzah is an exception to the rule, and kiddush is an exception to the rule. Despite the fact that it's a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, women are mechuyev. So the Prima Gadim says maybe tosefes Yom Kippur is not an exception to the rule. Maybe this is telling me what the rule is, that it's an Isser Asay. But since in addition to being maybe it's not at all a Kiyam Asay, maybe in addition to being a Kiyam Asay, it's also an Isser Asay, maybe that's what it means. That's the Prima Gadim that Rebbe Kivayga quotes. That the Gemara learns out from the pasuk, women are muzer not to eat during Tosefos Yom Kippurim. He says maybe that's why, because it's an Isser Asay.
The chorus is only in the Korban Pesach, or also on Yitzhak
Matzah? No, there's no chorus on Matzah, just Korban Pesach. Just Korban Pesach and Milo, a Pesach and Milo. So the Psukim distinguish between an Eved Ivri and an Eved Kenaini. An Eved Kenaini cannot become a Memunah on a Korban Pesach without authorization from his Odom. An Eved Ivri is a free man. He's not Meshuvah to the Odom. He works for the Odom. He's not the kofuf to the other. He can come. He can become a memuna on his own carbon pesach, with or without authorization from the other. Tosis in Yevamos Daf Ayin Amud Beis, beginning of Perek Ha'Oral, Tosis understands that Gemara to tell us that there's only what we call a kinyan isa by an eved kenani. There is no kinyan isa by an eved ivri. The kinyan isa by the eved kenani means that we don't treat the eved kenani like a human being. He has no right to become a munah on his own korban pesach. He has to get authorization from the Yodam. There's another difference between Igeh Tachilas Truma and Eved Kenayne Shal Koyne Zerichel B'Truma, Eved Ivri Shal Koyne Zerichel Eichel B'Truma. Okay, so there also, Eved Kenayne belongs to the Yodam with respect to Issa V'Hetter. So Tosis writes that the Eved Ivri, there's only a Kinyan Mam and there's no Kinyan Issa at all. Aye, but the Chumash says that Eved Ivri is Mutter B'Shivcha Kenaynes, so it does not indicate that there is a Kinyan Issa. Otherwise, how is he mutter b'shivcha k'nainis? It's an isa deraisa to live with the shivcha k'nainis. Lo yeh kodesh ben b'nei Yisrael. The Tosis says no, that's not at all based on kinyan isa. The Eved Ivri, Tosis assumes, is only mutter b'shivcha k'nainis in the line of duty. If the Odon wants him to sleep with the shivcha k'nainis in order to have lodos. So since he's meshubit to work for the Yodon, and the Chumash says Mishnes Chasacher Avot, he has to work twice as hard as anybody else. What do you mean twice as hard? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Zayvus Rabba Bayoma Balayla, all day long he does work, and then Balayla, the Yodon, if the Yodon wants to, he can insist that he should sleep with the Shivcha Knainis in order to have lotus. So Tosis says since he does it in the line of duty, there's no issa. Very shver. The guy has a job. He's Machal Shabbos. It's in the line of duty. So there's no chilul Shabbos. That's what he does for a living. Whatever he do for parnasa is okay. And the guy cooks bas v'cholav. The Odom wants the Eved Kenayne to work in his restaurant to cook bas v'cholav. Line of duty, everything is mutta. It doesn't make any sense. That's what all achrayim is. What does Tosis mean? So the Osamech explains, very interesting. He says, no, what's the Yisr? By Yavid, what's the Yisr to live with the Shilcha Kenayne? The Yisr is, lo yeh kodesh b'mnei Yisrael. Kodesh means have keres. Have keres means if I decide on my own, I want to live with the Shilcha Kenayne. But if I'm doing it in the line of duty, I have no choice. So that's why there's no violation of Liya Kodesh. So from Tosis you see that Tosis assumes that the Eved Ivri is Mutter B'Shivcha Knainis only in the line of duty, if Rabbi Moshe lo Shivcha Knainis. If the Yodon is not interested in getting any Vlodos, and the Eved Ivri on his own falls in love with this Shivcha Knainis, he has no Heter to sleep with him. That's what it would appear the favorish from the Tosis. The Ritva in Kiddushin says explicitly not so. Ritva says in Kiddushin that the Eved Ivri is Mutter B'Shivcha Knainis, not only in the line of duty, the Rabbi Mosalo Shivcha Knainis, if the Odon wants to gain Vladis, stop. Eved Ivri is Mutter B'Shivcha Knainis. So that's why the Ritva has adopted the position of the Ramban. Ramban and the Ritva are famous. They hold that by Eved Ivri there is a Kinyan Issa. In addition to the Kinyan Mamad, there's also a Kinyan Issa. And Tosis insists that not. There's only a Kinyan Issa by Yevet Kenayne. Based on their reading of the Gemara, that's how they understood the Gemara, the first Amud Beis and Perek Ha'Oral, the Afayin Amud Beis, that Yevet Kenayne cannot become a Munah on a Korban Pesach without authorization of the Yodon, because there's a Kinyan Issa, and Yevet Ivri can, so that shows that there's no Kinyan Issa by Yevet Ivri. The author of the Ketos HaChoshen wrote a Sefer on Eben Ezer. Everyone is certainly familiar, the Avdi Miluim. So the end of the Avdi Miluim is a commentary on Choshen, on Eben Ezer, just like the Ketos is, in a certain sense, a commentary, not exactly, on Choshen Mishpat. So in the end of the Avdi Miluim, he has what he calls Shailas HaTshuvas, Avdi Miluim. They're not Shailas that end, not like Igris Moshe, not like some said. These were not Shailas that came up, Halacha L'maaseh. These are essays not related to Eben Ezer. That one of the Shadis HaTshuvas that he has is, what's the story with Kinyan Issa? So he quotes all the sources there. Eved Ivri, Eved Kenayne, he quotes all the sources in the Gemara and the Rishonim. That's why they know in the Yeshivas, all of these Rishonim, because they used to learn Avnei Miluim. Avnei Miluim is the one who popularized this whole topic. There's a special din, like we just said, the Eved Kenayne cannot become a Munah on the Korban Pesach without authorization from the Odon. This is a special din that only applies by Korban Pesach, that the Pesach is only Nechal Lil Menuyev. B'michzas nefoshes tachosu al aseh. When you shech the seh, you have to know exactly on whose behalf you're shechting it. Whoever was not memuna on a Korban Pesach before the Shechita is not permitted to eat that that Korban Pesach. It doesn't apply to any other Korban. There is no such din anywhere else that you have to only eat Leminuyev. You're not allowed to eat Shalom Leminuyev. It's a bitla mitzvah v'achilas ha-Korban Pesach. Special din. The Minchas Chinuch points out on the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, on this week's Sedra, that there seem to be contradictions in the Gemara in Perek Ha'isha, the end of Maseches Pesachim, regarding the nature of the din of Lemnuyev, whether Lemnuyev just means they had me in mind at the time the Shech did the Korban Pesach to have a list of people, of guests who are going to eat this Korban Pesach. Or does Lemnuyev mean more than that? It means that I have a shutfis in Dini Mamanis. I own a shutfis in the Behem. So this seems to be a contradiction between two Gemaras. One of the more famous Gemaras is the Gemara talks about an Eved Kenaini becoming a Mamunah on a Korban Pesach. The Gemara says, Kol Mashikon Eved Kona Rabo. That's a din deraisa. Whatever the Eved Kenaini acquires ownership of goes to the Yodon. So the Eved can never acquire ownership on anything for himself. So how can an Eved Kenaini ever be Mamunah on a Korban Pesach? It's impossible. The Gemara says, someone else is friendly with the Eved Kenaini, and the Yodon gives permission, and he'll become Mamunah. And the other person will be makna the Eved Kenaini. Amarash ein l'rabba rishuspo. Then the Gemara says, but that's also a machlekes amarayim in the end of the Dorim, whether that helps. So the Gemara solves the problem. But the Gemara seems to be assuming explicitly that kol mashikon avikon rabba, that the definition of lebenuya means that you own a shutfis in the Korban Pesach, not just that they had your mind. And then the Minchas Chinuch points out there are other Gemaras in the same perek, in Perek Ha'isha, which seem to contradict that. That seem to imply that there's no need for kinyan. Ravelvela Soloveitchik in the Sefer HaChumash quotes from the Mechilta, commenting on the pasuk Mishchu ukulachem tzon v'shachatu ha-pasach. So what does it mean, Mishchu? So the Mechilta says, Mishchu b'koine with a kinyan Meshicha. Mikan, shebehem adaka niknes b'meshicha. There are two types of behemoths. There's a behem adaka and a behem agasa. Behem adaka has a 5-month pregnancy. That's Zavim ve'izim. A Korban Pesach has to be either six zavim, the se'izim, either a goat or a sheep, as opposed to a calf. A calf is a cow, gives birth to a calf. That's a behemah gasa, that's a 9-month pregnancy. The difference is la'alocha. The difference is in mitzias between a behemah gasa and behemah daka. What the pregnancy is, and there are differences in alocha between behemah gasa and behemah daka. So the Korban Pesach is always behemah daka. And there's a whole machlekes hatanoim in Mishnayos in the end of the first parak in Kedushin. Do you insist on making a Mashiach on a behema dako or not? So the Mechilta says Mishchu Krulah Hemikan Shebehema Daka Niknes B'Mashiach. So Revelvela in the Sefer HaChumash points out, you see that the Mechilta assumes that in order to be considered Mamuna on the Korban Pesach, you have to have a kinyan, you have to have a bailus. Doesn't just mean that they write your name down on the list and they have you in mind. You have to make a kinyan Mashiach. The Mechilta has another level of interpretation on that pasuk, Mishchu ukhulachem, Mishchu yedechem me'avodah zarah. You should stop worshipping avodah zarah. The Jews, when they were in Egypt, were worshipping avodah zarah. That's according to the tradition of the Midrashim. The Midrashim say when it came the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf, so the Moshe Rabbeinu told the Yam that it should split. So the Yam argued back, I should split and let the Jewish people walk through on the dry land. And then it should drown the midstream. Why? Halalu abdi abadizab, halalu abdi abadizab. They're all the same thing. Why should I make a miracle for the Jewish people? So the Baruch Shalom had to answer the Yam, and he said the Jews didn't want to worship abadizab. They were pressured into it. But apparently, according to our tradition, the Jews were involved in abadizab. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu commanded Bnei Yisrael. Mishchu kchulachem tzom v'shach ta'apascha. Mishchu yidechem be'abadizab. Participating in the Korban Pesach was a demonstration that they're rejecting abadizab. Because the behemoths were sanctified, were deified. The Mitzrayim used to worship the behemoths. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu responded to Parah. Parah said, why don't you just celebrate your holiday to your God over here? So he says, what do you mean? Hein nizbach estavis Mitzrayim le'nei v'lo yiskalunum. We're going to shecht their deity and they're going to kill us. We can't do that. So when the Jews shechted the Korban Pesach, so they're demonstrating that they're rejecting Avodah Zarah. The Or Sameach has a fantastic chiddush. There is a Gemara in Krisus on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara there learns that all the laws of Geirus are based on the Maimer Hasina, just like Ma V'Sechel and Nichnas Elibris, just like our forefathers on the occasion of Maimer Hasina underwent Geirus, and the Geirus consisted of Mila first, and Mitzrayim, right before Yetzias Mitzrayim, everybody had a bris Mila. Then Tefillah, everybody had to go to Mikveh before Maamid HaSinai. The married people had to go to Mikveh 3 days before. That was a special detail. But even the single people, everybody had to go to Mikveh, the Gemara learns that from another Pasuk. And then they had to bring Karbonis, and the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And then, of course, they had to say Nasim and Ishma, they had to have Kabbalah on Mitzvah, so to the Deiris. Whenever a non-Jew wants to convert, you need Kabbalah on Mitzvah, and you have to have Mila and Tefillah, and the Karbonis. So the Gemara says, the Akrabas HaKarbonis are not Mi'akev and the Geiris. The person becomes Jewish when he has the Mila and Tefillah, and the Kabbalah on Mitzvah, even before he brings the Karbonis, but he's considered like a Mechusik Kippurit. He's not the Gershon, his Gayer, is not considered fully Jewish, but the Ger too, he's not permitted to eat Karbonis. Let's say you'll bring a Korban Shlomim in the Beis HaMikdash, and any Jewish person, his Tohar, is allowed to eat the Korban Shlomim. So a Ger, who just converted, would not be allowed to eat the Korban Shlomim until he brings the Korban. The Gemara says that all of the Gerim who convert is Van Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, if they should live so long to be Zechet to see the third Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, and then they'll have to bring their Korban. The least expensive carbon in Oilus Behema. Oilus Behema is a fortune of money. The Gemara says you can bring an Oilus Oif. You can bring an Oilus Oif and be Yotze also. So the Or Sameach points out that there is a Mishnah in Psochim, around a little before Daf Tzadik, maybe after Daf Tzadik, where the Mishnah discusses a Machlokes B'Sham and B'Sil, what's the din of a Gershon is Gar Be'erev Pesach. Is there a new chumra gzerim in the Rabbanon that we don't permit the ger to participate in Korban Pesach? Bisil holds a new gzerim in the Rabbanon for a special reason. And Bishami said there's no need to make a gzerim in the Rabbanon. So it's very unclear. In that Mishnah, it says the ger was nizgayer and erev Pesach. It doesn't say that he brought a korban hager. And they discuss participating in the Korban Pesach. So there's some asks, how can he participate in the Korban Pesach? He didn't bring the korban hager yet. So he has a fantastic chiddush that if the ger is this guy any other season of the year, he has to bring a korban oilas hager, oilas behem, oilas oiv. Korban Pesach can serve as the korban hageris. And he has a lot of sources to back this up. If I'm not mistaken, this is the way they identified the manuscript of the Orsamech al Hashas by the Shtikl Torah. There was an American who was learning in Eretz Yisrael in the Miri Yeshiva. His name is Greenwald. Used to come here to Rav Soloveitchik Shul. So he was learning many years ago in Eretz Yisrael, and then he had nothing to do on Chol Moed. He couldn't come back to America. No one could afford then to go fly back and forth. He went to Eretz Yisrael, and he learned there for a couple of years. So for entertainment, he went to the Hebrew University, I think, on Chol Moed, to see what do they have in the world of manuscripts. So they had manuscripts from Dvinsk from the 1920s, from the 1930s. So they had a manuscript that was not identified, and he started reading it. He didn't recognize the handwriting. But he recognized the Chidushim. These were straight from the Or Sameach. So this was the Or Sameach, Al Hashas. So he printed it later on. He identified it. Because every so often, the Or Sameach writes as I wrote over there. And here he writes as I wrote over there. He had around 5 or 10 indications that this was clearly written by the Or Sameach. So I think this was one of them. This is one of the ways he identified the manuscript. Because he has the same Chidush over there that the Korban Pesach can serve as the Korban Hageris. And that's why the Tanoim makes such a comment, Mishchu Kchulachem Tzon, Shachatu HaPosach, Mishchi Yidechem Yavod Ezorah. That the Korban Pesach itself can serve as the Korban Hageiruth. The Din requires that the Korban Pesach should be Zohar Ben Shona. You can't bring in a Keva. The Mishnah says, HaMafrish Nekeva Lepischo. What's the Din if you, let's say, an Oilo is supposed to be also a zohar, a chatos is supposed to be in a keva. What if you mafrish a zohar for a korban chatos instead of in a keva? What if you mafrish in a keva for a korban oilo instead of a zohar, and a keva for a korban pesach instead of a zohar? So the Mishnah say that it becomes kodesh b'kdushas haguf. You can't be poided. You can only be poided something that only has a kdushas damit. Here it's migun nasal kdushas dam nasal nami kdushas haguf. If you mafrish in a keva le pischo. So you can't be poided. You have to wait till it gets a mum to be poided. But you're not yotze with it. You can't be makriv an ekevel epistol. And it has to be a zocha ben shona. Ben shona means before the first birthday. A pesach shavar shnasa is possible. If it's after the first birthday, it's no good. Usually that's the season of the year when the sheep are born in the springtime. They're very tiny, so you have to be medactic to make sure that it's a ben shmoneh yamim. You can't bring it as a korban pesach before the eighth day. The Gemara says they're very small, and if you wait till next year, you can't bring it after. You have to bring erev pesach. You can't bring it another 3 months when it gets fat. If you wait till next pesach, next erev pesach, it'll already be over shnasa. So they're always born that season, and they're always very tiny. That's how the Gemara says. 1 year, the government wanted to take a census of the Jewish people, so they assumed that every Korban Pesach has a minimum of 10 people participating. You have an animal, the butcher sells a behemoth, you have more than 10 people eating from the flesh of one behemoth, but a Korban Pesach, an Erev Pesach, is very skinny, it's very tiny, and each person gets up one or two kezesim, you don't get so much. So the Gemara says that they assumed that every Korban Pesach probably had approximately 10 people participating in it. Not too many more, because the Korban Pesach was so small. Korban Pesach is one of the mitzvahs l'doros that applies throughout all the generations. On the occasion of Pesach Mitzrayim, there were Hayrosh Shoah blended in. Al Yetzish Min Pesach Besa Adboike was only Hayrosh Shoah. That doesn't apply l'doros. The Mishnah and the Tosefta in Psachim and around Daf Tzadik Hei, Tzadik Vav Asah, lists off. The Mishnah quotes some and Tosefta quotes from the Tosefta. The rest of the differences, special dinim that were only Haru Ashur on the occasion of this. But there was no Mizbeach. They did Zrika Sadam and Shteh Mezuzos Vala Mashkoi. They didn't have a Mizbeach to burn the Chelev. That was also Haru Ashur. They burned the Chelev separately. A lot of details here were Haru Ashur. So the pasuk says, "Vay adam lachem liosa labatim," that the dam they put on shtei mezuzos v'alamashke, that was an os on the Jewish homes, that v'loyav amashkes el toch batechem lingoyf, so that the Jewish people would not be punished on the occasion of makas b'chayrus. There's a famous comment from the Rishoner, who was a chassidish rebbe, on this pasuk, "Vay adam lachem liosa labatim," that the Tosfos Yontif in Maseches Demai quotes that there is an issue that was raised. How do we always daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdosh? You look in Chagai, Zechariah and Malachi were the three Nevi'im who were there in the beginning of the period of the Bais Sheni. So Chagai says about this second Beis HaMikdosh, Godliya Kvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon, this, the last Beis HaMikdosh, will be more glorious than the first Beis HaMikdash. He refers to the second Beis HaMikdash as Godli Yakvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAcharon Min HaRishon. This is the last Beis HaMikdash. So how do we have the audacity to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, give us the opportunity to bring the Tmidim of Masach, and he said that's the last Beis HaMikdash. So the Tosfos Yontif answers that the word Acharon, he comments on a Mishnah in Perek Zayin in Demai, that the Mishnah refers to something Acharonim, and it doesn't mean the last, it means the latter. So he says, not only is that correct in Mishnaic Hebrew, that's correct in Biblical Hebrew as well. So he quotes two psukim. He says, Al Pishnai Meidim Yokum Dover. He writes an expression in Tazion. He quotes two psukim. One pasuk is in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yankov, after so many years, comes to meet up with Esav. And Esav was Mistachem Locho Lohargecho. That's why he ran away in the first place. And he doesn't know whether Esav is still interested in killing him or not. So he's very petrified. So he was afraid that Esav may kill his wife and his children. So he first took the Shvachos v'yaldehen rishayna, this Leah v'yaldeha achrayinim, the Srachel v'yaldeha achrayinim. So if it already says Leah v'yaldeha achrayinim, the last one, so how does it say Rachel v'yaldeha achrayinim? So you see that achrayinim doesn't mean last, achrayinim means latter. Just like in today's Seder, it says, Ach v'yom rishin tashbiz in sarvim batechem. You have to burn chametz. You don't burn the chametz on the first day Pesach, but Yom Rishon, burn the chametz on Erev Pesach. So the word Rishon does mean first, or Rishon means before. And Achron does mean last in Biblical Hebrew. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Rishon means prior or earlier, and Achron means latter. And then the other pasuk that the Tosfos Yontif quotes, he quotes someone else said that pasuk from Parshas Vayishlach, and he added on the pasuk in Parshas Shmois, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll come to Bnei Yisrael, I'll tell him I'm a Navi. I have to prove that I'm a Navi. You have to bring an Osam Ofes. So the Rebbeinu Shalom gives him three Osos. So the first Os is, he should take the Mateh, Benepach, Lenochash. that Nimnay Amina Lakol Haos Arishan, Amina Lakol Haos Acharon. Lakol Haos Acharon is that he puts his hand in his chest and it turns to Negat Saraz, then it clears up. Then he says you should take water and throw it on the ground, it's going to turn into dung. So there was a third os. How does the Rabbanu Shalom say? That's not the kol ha'os ha'achron. There's another os. You see that the word achron in biblical Hebrew doesn't necessarily mean less, it means latter. So too, when the Novi Chagai said, he didn't mean that this is the last Beis HaMikdash, he meant that this is a second Beis HaMikdash. Okay. That's what the Tosis Yontif writes. And he has these two psukim from Chumash, and he writes, Al-Pishnai made him Yachim Dabba. The two psukim indicate that that's biblical usage of the term Acharon. So that's a famous comment that the Rishon has said, Rabbi Yisrael from Rishon said, that the Pasuk says in today's Sedrim, that the third ois, the moifis that Moshe Rabbeinu was given in Parsha Shmois, first ois was the Mate Nepach L'Nochash, second ois was the Yodom Metzaras Kasholik, and the third ois was the Dam. So why did the Rabbanu Shalom say, Imlay Aminel Kol Ha'os Reshen, Aminel Kol Ha'os Acharon? It wasn't Acharon. The answer is, Vay Adam Lachem Li'os Al Abatim. That's a simon on the Bot HaMikdoshim. That's obviously not the Poshim Shat in the Pasuk, Aremes, that the Tesis Yontif's Rayif in the Pasuk is a good mocker, that there is going to be a third day some English. The Psukim speak about Chometz and Seor, they're two different things. Chometz is Chameshis Mini Dogan, that we're sitting with water without Hisaskus for a long period of time. The Gemara says less than a shear mill, for sure nothing happened. It didn't turn into Chometz yet. A shear mill, the Mishnah Berurah always says, is 18 minutes. It's really much longer than 18 minutes. You learn the Gemara Pesachim, it's really, some say 24 minutes. Really, the Pashtus in the Gemara is 22 and a half minutes. Is a shear mill. So the Gemara says, if you have flour with water sitting without Hisaskus, if you keep on kneading, afilu kol hayom kulo, it's not going to turn into Chometz. But if you have it just sit there, believe Hisaskus for a shear mill, so less than a shear mill, there's no problem. More than a shear mill, so then there's what to begin to think about. So the Mishnayos have, when is it considered Tchilas HaChimutz process, that's called Seor, that's Shin Yud Aleph Vav Reish, not to be confused with Seor. Seor is a term that the rabbis invented. Tchilas HaChimutz process, that's a machlekes from Meir Abuda, where the Seor, Tchilas HaChimutz, is an Issa Derais and Issa Derabbanon. And then you have siduk. Siduk means when you have so many cracks on top, the dough rose so much, that's the gemar hachimitz process. So that's what chometz is. Chometz is cake, cookies, whatever, the raw dough, that's all chometz. So or is a different thing. So or is if you let the dough rise and you don't bake it and you let it and you left it so long, how does dough rise? The microorganisms from the air find their way into the dough, or if you throw in a packet of yeast, so you don't have to worry, you don't have to rely on microorganisms from the air. If you don't put in yeast, it'll take 10 hours. If you put in yeast, it'll take 1 hour. It'll take much less time. So these microorganisms eat up all of the flour, and they keep on reproducing. So or is, what the Chumash is talking about, you didn't bake it and you just left it the way it is, the microorganisms ate up all of the flour and they keep on reproducing and you taste it, it tastes absolutely awful. You're eating microorganisms, millions and billions and trillions and zillions of microorganisms. It's mamish nifsal me'achila. So that's the chiddush, that despite the fact that it's nifsal me'achila, that's the halacha that sa'or is awesome. Why so? Usually the din is that if you have macholas hasur, it's at either nifs machilas sodom or nifs achilas hakelev, it should really be mutter. So the Gemara said, the Tosefta says this is an exception to the rule because this is an ingredient. A lot of times you have ingredients, let's say years ago there used to be Crisco that was non-kosher. So you take a tub of Crisco, you buy a container of Crisco, it's like plastic. It doesn't seem royal achila at all. Taka, normal people don't. You don't put a spoon in to eat Crisco. You take a little tray for Crisco. You take a little Crisco, you throw it into the pan. And then when you fry everything together, so everything together tastes good. It blends in with the food. So that's a cloud that we learn out from this pasuk of Sa'or. That whenever you have a food that's mamish, not royal achila, a tray for food, that's not royal achila at all, but it's omer to be used as an ingredient in a food item, like seor. What years ago, what did they do when they would bake bread? So they would save some of the dough, and they wouldn't bake all of it. They would save some of the dough till next week, or till the next day, whenever they're interested in baking bread the next time. Then they would take this dough that was all eaten up by the microorganisms, and they, by eating it up, they keep on multiplying, reproducing, reproducing, reproducing. They have billions, zillions, trillions of microorganisms. Then they throw it into the flour that they mix with water next week, and then this would, it would blend in with the rest of the stuff, and it would become roi lachino. So since it's an ingredient, it's aimed roi lachametz by yisus acheres, the Gemara says. So therefore, it doesn't become mutter just because of the fact that it's nifsum achivas sodom. Rav Chaim Oizer writes in his Chubas in the Achiyaza that this is not only a din in Hilchas Pesach, it's a din in Kol HaTorah Kula. Whenever you have a treif ingredient, very often you have like that, you have a treif of food, but it's used as an ingredient in cooking. So whatever is an ingredient, you don't declare that it's Nefzah Machilah Sodom. The Chumash sounds like it says that the reason why Achberishim Tashbis Sosomim Batech Mki Kol Eichol. Here it says, Shivas Yam Sod Leimotze Bevatech Mkikol Eichol Machmetzes V'nichrusa. It says, Tashbisu Kikol Eichol Chametz V'nichrusa. Sounds like the Yisr Abal Yiroi and the Mitzvah of Tashbisu is all a siyog, the Araisa, Kikol Eichol Machmetzes V'nichrusa. That's a simple reading of the Chumash. You have such a thing as a siyog, the Araisa. That's what it has in the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says, Anshek Nesak Dala Heimam Shlosh Edvar. So one of the three instructions that they gave was, Asay Siyog La Torah. So the Ovis, the Reb Nosson, always has an elaboration, like a Tosefta has an elaboration on the Mishnayis. The Ovis, the Reb Nosson, has long elaborations on all the Mishnayis and Pirkei Ovis. So it says, Ezi Siyog Shosis HaTorah L'Dvareha. What's an example? The Chachamim tell us, Asay Siyog La Torah. We should pattern our Siyogim after the Siyogim that the Torah made. So what's an example of a Siyog that the Torah makes? So the Ovis Rav Nosson gives an example. The Torah has a prohibition of Nida and Eshesish. So the prohibition is only violated if a person has an affair with a Nida, has an affair with an Eshesish. But if he kisses the Eshesish and he dances with someone else's wife and he hugs and he does everything except for the actual Aver itself. So Yochol, one might think that that's Muta, Talmulayim, but the Pasuk says, L'sikirvu, Aleisha Samitcha, L'sikirvu, L'galas Ervo. Aleisha Benidis Tamasa, L'sikirvu, L'galas Ervo. So the pasuk says that kira basa, to dance with the eshesisha, with the nida, to kiss her, is also asa because this can lead to the more serious aver. So the Avos Rav Nosson seems to assume that kira basa by an eshesisha, by nida, is an isa deraisa. That's a famous machlek, is the Rambam and the Ramban. The Rambam says that kira basa is an isa deraisa, and the one gets malchus. That's the way Rabbi Yosef Kara writes in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas and Eben Ezra. In Hilchas Kira Basa, he quotes the Rambam that it's an Issa Deraisa, and that's a simple reading of this Avos Rav Nosson. Ezi Soksha Sator LeDvareho, we are commanded, Asay Siyog LaTorah, to pattern our Siyogim after all of the Siyogim that the Torah made. There is a Medrash Rabba on Parshas Noso, on the Parsha of Nozir, where the Medrash Rabba, the Mesillas Yesharim quotes both of these, the Medrash Rabba with the Avos Rav Nosson. That is, Rabbi says, what's another example of a siyog shasa Torah l'dvareha? A nazir, the Torah does want a nazir to drink wine. That we understand, okay, he should abstain from wine. What's so terrible about eating grapes? What's going to happen to it? He's going to eat grapes, he's going to get drunk. Never heard of anybody getting drunk by eating grapes or eating raisins. But that's a siyog deraisa. That's how it says in the Medrash Rabba on Parshas Noso. Ezi siyog shasa Torah l'dvareha, the Torah does want a nazir to drink wine. So the Torah even prohibits the nozer from eating grapes or raisins, Shema Yavoi, the day kach that he should drink wine. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a whole essay in the Sefer Lekach Toi where he lists off 17 different Mekoris where it seems that the Gemoris or Rishonim or Achronim seem to assume that a din in the Chumash is a siog. Not only are we familiar with siogim de Rabbanon, all the Xeris de Rabbanon, a million and one siogim de Rabbanon, but you have also you have siyogim on the level of deraisa as well. There's a line in the Rambam, there's a machlokes, the Rambam in Tosfos, why shechitas nochri is nevela. The Mishnah says if a non-Jew shechts a behema, so you're not allowed to eat it, it's an isa nevela, and it's metamik in nevela. So the Tosfos has Tosfos in the Rosh say that shechita is only good if it's done by one who is a bar shechita, one who is mechuyev to eat geshochten and meat. A non-Jew who's permitted to eat nevela, so he's not kosher. Zeina b'tor shechita, he's not a bar svicha, so he's not kosher to shecht. The Rambam does not agree with that. The Rambam says there is no such drosha anywhere. So the Rambam says that Akum Shushachat Shchitos and Nevela is based on a different pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, where it says V'kor lo chove echalta mizivcha, that we're afraid if the Nochri Shecht the Behem al Avodah Zarah, so then it's going to be the Grubis Avodah Zarah. So that's Rishu, you're not allowed to eat. But what if the Nochri didn't consciously Shecht L'Shem Avodah Zarah? Subconsciously, in the back of his mind, he's probably thinking, we have to be concerned, he may be thinking about Avodah Zarah. So you never permitted to eat Shchitos Nochri because he may subconsciously be thinking of Avodah Zarah. If he consciously shechts the shame of Avodah Zarah, it's also no, not only also b'achila, then it's the grubis. But if he's not consciously thinking the shame of Avodah Zarah, just subconsciously, then the Rambam says, then it's also b'achila menatur. That's the prohibition. So then the Rambam adds on, what if the Nochri who shechts the behem is a ger toshav? He never worships Avodah Zarah at all. He accepted upon himself officially never to worship Avodah Zarah and to observe all the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Na'ar. So what are you going to say? That subconsciously he's thinking of Avodah Zarah. Not so. So the Rambam has an expression in Hilchos Shechita, the Geder Gadol Gidru B'Dover Zeh, and they instituted a Harchoke, a Geder, that even if he's a Ger Toshav, even if he's a Nochri, he never worships Avodah Zarah at all, he's still not permitted to eat from his Shechita. So there's a big machlokes what the Rama means. Does he mean that this is an Issa deraisa or an Issa derabbanan? So the standard Meforshim on the Daf, the Kesef Mishnah with the Lechem Mishnah and others, I think the Radvaz maybe also, and Hilchos Shechita, they all understand Gera Gadol Gidru B'Dover Zeh, that's only a Gzeira Midrabbanan. On the level of the Raisa, if the Nochri is one who never worships Avodah Zarah, so Shechitos HaKshera, Shechitos and the Bele here would only be the Rabbanan. And the Shach and Yerideya quotes others who disagree. Even a ger tosh v'shishochad, he doesn't mean it's a gzera derabbanan. It's a gzera deraisa. Where do you ever have such a lashon? Geder gadol gidru, a geder is an isa deraisa. So that's what Rab Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out. That's what it says in Novus Ram Nosen. Ezi siyok shasa torli dvareha. You have such a concept that there is a siyok deraisa. So that's what the Shach quotes such a pshat. When the Rambam wrote that a ger toshav shishochad is also aser, a ger gadol, he meant a siog derais and not a siog derabbanan. Torah lists off certain people who are not permitted to participate in Korban Pesach, so the one who shalol menuyev is not allowed. But then you have kol benecha lo yochel bo, kol ora lo yochel bo, one who doesn't have a bris milah. That's how we know that everybody was mal before Hakrovis Korban Pesach. There was a big national milah. Many years in Mitzrayim, they weren't practicing Bris Milah. Before the Korban Pesach, they did practice Bris Milah. So what does it mean, kol b'necha lo yochel bo? It means a non-Jew is not permitted to eat Korban Pesach. Non-Jew is not allowed to eat a shlamim either. What's the chiddush? No, kol b'necha means a Jewish non-Jew. If a Jew is a mumel avodah zarah, he's not permitted to participate in the Korban Pesach. Kol b'necha lo yochel bo. So the Chafetz Chaim writes in his comments, Chaim wrote Likuti Halochas. It's like the Rif, Hilchas HaRif. So the Chavetz Chaim wrote an invitation Rif on the Mesechtas of Zvachim and Menachas and the Kachim part of Psachim and so on. All the Mesechtas, but we have no Rif. All the Kachim Dikim Mesechtas. He wrote what he calls Likuti Halochas, an invitation of the Rif. And then he has a commentary on the bottom that's called Zevach Toida. Every so often he has a Chiddush. Interesting chiddush. In one place in the Zevach Toida, he develops an idea that not only a ben echer, one who's a mumala with a zora, is not permitted to eat korban pesach and mechal shabbos befresh. He is also dina koibet avodah zora. Also, we wouldn't allow him to participate in the korban pesach. So, I remember Rav Soloveitchik said that his father didn't think that that was correct. His father thought that it's only a special din mumala with a zora. It doesn't apply mechal shabbos befresh. Dina kapa means the mumras of the gavre is the same level. Is dina ka'akum, he can't be mitzarfim to a minion, okay, other dinim shchitos and avela. But he thought that this is a din, this is mos lagavoya, a person who's involved in avodah zarah is mos, so that's not necessarily the same by Mechal Shabbos. He thought the same regarding, also there's a Mishnah Brura about this, and Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik thought it wasn't correct. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein also has a tshuva, he doesn't agree with the Mishnah Brura. The Gemara has a din that the end of Maseches Menachos, the Mishnah says there was in Alexandria that had a temple that was called Beis Chonyo. The fellow who made the temple was a nice Jewish boy, Chonyo, and he built the Beis HaMikdash. So they were bringing korbanos there on an ongoing basis during the period of the Beis Sheni. So the Gemara was not sure what in the world is going on there. Either this is a Beis HaMikdash where they bring korbanos la Gavoya, la Shamayim, and they were in violation of the Yisim Koris of Shkut Echutz. Or maybe it's even worse than that. Maybe this fellow felt bad why he lost his... He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol in Yerushalayim. His brother got the job. So he was upset. So the Gemara says one version is that he founded a Beis Avodah Zarah and they were bringing Karbanos in Beis Chonyo in Alexandria, the Shem Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara in the end of Menachos is simply not sure historically what was going on in Beis Chonyo. Was it a Beis Avodah Zarah or were they bringing Karbanos L'Shamayim? So the Mishnah says, Kohanim Shishim Shev Beis Chonyo, they used to have Kohanim do the Hakrobos HaKarbanos. Whether it was L'Gavoya or L'Avodah Zarah, it doesn't make a difference. They always were makbid to have Kohanim. So the Mishnah says, Kohanim who offered Karbanos Beis Chonyo would not be permitted to, if they decide to do tshuva later and they want to come to Yerushalayim to bring Karbanos, we wouldn't allow them to bring Karbanos. V'kol shkein l'dover acher. Certainly more so, the Mishnah is assuming Beis Chonyo was not a makam Avodah Zarah. Mishnah assumes Beis Chonyo was shkut echutz. V'kol shkein if a Kohen once brought Karbanos l'Avodah Zarah, for sure we wouldn't allow the Kohen to bring, to be makar Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So there is a din that a Kohen Shishimish L'Avodah Zarah, long discussions in the Gemara, a Kohen who worshipped Avodah Zarah, who participated in Avodah Zarah, is not permitted to be a makar of Karbanos. So the Gemara has a din that a Kohen who worshipped Avodah Zarah, in the end of Menachos, a Kohen who worshipped Avodah Zarah is not allowed to duchen either. Just like he's not allowed to be makar of Karbanos, he's not allowed to duchen. So what would you say, a Kohen who is Machal Shabbos before Hesya? Also, Dina Kohibit Avodah Zarah, so also not allowed to. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. A Kohen is Machal Shabbos before Hesya, is Dina Kohibit Avodah Zarah, so just like a Kohen who once worshipped Avodah Zarah can't duchen, can't be Makar Kabbalah, so to a Kohen who was once Machal Shabbos before Hesya. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a whole tshuva where he disagrees with that. That's not to say that the Gemara talks about Kelim Sheshim Shel Avodah Zarah, Kelim Sheshim Shel Beis Chonyo. The Kelim, you can't say the Kli is a Mumer. The Kli doesn't, it's not a Bar Bechira. It's a din that if a Kli was used to Avodah Zarah, it's Moos Lagavoya. So maybe the Moos Lagavoya is only on Avodah Zarah. It's not, doesn't necessarily carry over to Mechal Shabbos Beferesia. Mechal Shabbos Beferesia, Dina Kohibit Avodah Zarah means in a degree of Mumer is Hagavra. He's considered the same level of Mumer. But here, from the fact that Kelim Shevshim Shevbeis Chonyo, the Klisharis that were used for Avodah Zarah, cannot be used for the Beis HaMikdash, that's an indication that has nothing to do with Mumer Sagarba. The Kelim are not Mumer. It's a din because whatever was involved in Avodah Zarah is Moos Lagavoya. So maybe it's only Avodah Zarah. Maybe it doesn't apply to Chil Shabbos.
If so, why are we not Mekabel for Mumer and Korban?
Right, that's a Pasuk. Mumer has another Pasuk. Adam mikem ki akra mikem lo kulchem lahotzias hamumer. If a person is a mumer, dina ka'akum, so we can't accept his karbanos. So Gemara says, who's a mumer, dina ka'akum? Either mumer l'avodah zarah, or mumer l'chal Shabbos b'frahesia, or mumer l'roiv dina hatar, ruba kakula. So that's a different thing. There's a dina mumer, mumer is dina ka'akum, and we can't accept karbanos. But here is a different halacha. Here, this halacha that a kohen, shishimish l'avodah zarah, is not allowed to be mishamish. In the Beis HaMikdash, so that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein or Moshe Salvech, they thought that that's only if it's Shemesh L'Avodah Zarah. It's not because of the Mumris Hagavah.
Would the Kohen Gadol be Mumar who failed to bring
the
Korban Pesach? He's
Asher
to bring
the
Korban Pesach. Is
the guy
Karis
not being able to bring? Yeah, he's Mechuyiv to do Tshuva. He's Mechuyiv to do Tshuva and join in and bring the Korban Pesach, yeah. The Gemara learns that on Daf Chav Ches on the base of Pesach, and we learn that from the Pesach Kol Ben Echel LeYochel Bo. So the word Bo is a Mir. Bo Hu Eino Echav LeYochel Hu B'Matzah B'Mar. So Tesis says, what do you mean? He's a Mumal Avodah Zarah. He's not going to eat. He's Mechuyiv in Korban Pesach also. Mechuyiv to do Tshuva and to eat Korban Pesach also. What do you mean? He's Mechuyiv to eat Matzah B'Mar. So Tesis says, what it means is he did Tshuva, but he did Tshuva too late. He decided to do Tshuva on Leil Pesach, so he can't eat the Korban Pesach because it's Shalol Menuyev. You have to be Mamun on the Korban Pesach prior to the Shechita. So despite the fact that that he's not able to participate in the Korban Pesach because he missed the boat, he decided to do tshuva after the shkia, and you can't bring a Korban Pesach then. So despite the fact that ein oichel b'korban pesach, have a lochel b'matzah mar, but he is mechuyev to have the matzah in the mar, because that's not totally in the korban pesach. That's what Tosis learns over there. The Meiri, on that Gemara, on Tosis Kasha, has a different, he quotes a different teretz. From the Gedolei Hador Shelofoneinu. The Meiri quotes a teretz, no, the fellow did tshuva a long time ago. He once worshipped Avodah Zarah during his lifetime, and then he did tshuva. And despite the fact that he did tshuva for the rest of his life, he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. And despite the fact that he can eat Korban Pesach, bohu ena alach, alach ulhu b'matzamor. That's how the Miri has a chiddush. Tosis holds not so. Tosis holds if the mumel avodah zarah does tshuva, he can eat Korban Pesach. But that's what the Miri says. And the Miri asks the kasha, how can it be? But in today's sedra it says that even ger also is just as mechuyev to bring Korban Pesach as the regular people who were born Jewish. So the ger, maybe the ger once worshipped avodah zarah. So if the ger once worshipped avodah zarah, how can you ever allow him? Chayor grit chager v'asat pesach l'Hashem, oz yikrav l'asoso. How can you allow a ger to bring korban pesach if the ger once worshipped avodah zarah during his lifetime? So the Miri says, no, that's not a kasha. Ger shen has got cut and shenala doni. So wipes off the whole past. He's not considered as one who worshipped avodah zarah. The Pashta says, not like the Teretz that the Meiri gave. The Pashta says that Gershon has got cut in Shanala Dummy, doesn't mean you wipe off the past. Let's say a person borrows $100,000 from the bank and then he converts. So he doesn't have to pay back the money. Of course he has to pay back the money. He smashed the window and then he converts. He doesn't have to pay. He's the same person. Of course he will have to pay. Gershon has got cut in Shanala Dummy only appears in the Gemara in the context of relatives. That two brothers, and Hushin is Gaira, are not considered brothers. They're kosher ladies now. And the brother and his sister who converted up in Minat Torah are permitted to marry each other. It's only forbidden with the Rabbanim. Or a ger doesn't yashin. Let's say a non-Jewish person converts, and then the father dies. Doesn't matter whether the father did convert, didn't convert. Doesn't make a difference. So the din is Minat Torah. The son, the ger, does not yashin from the father because kikot and shenala dami. They're not related anymore. The Gemara said they made a takanim with the Rabbanim that he should still get the Yerusha, but Minat Torah doesn't get the Yerusha. So the only time the Gemara has Gershon is guy cut and Shanal Dan is going to get the relatives, that you're not related, or let's say a non-Jew had a whole family, sons and daughters, and then he converts. So the Gemara has a machlekes, is a Yotze Pirib Rivi with the children that he had before he converted. So we paskin that he is, and Rish Lakish says, no, Gershon is guy cut and Shanal Dan, he's not related to those children. If not related, so how can it be Yotze Pirib Rivi? So the only time the Gemara has the cut and Shanal Dan is going to get the Kurvis. This Meiri, this is a fantastic chiddush, these are Shenem Hol. That Kekot and Shenola Dami even applies to wiping off his past record that is not considered as if he once worshipped Abba Dazar. That's a big chiddush.
According to the Tosis that you said, instead of the Meiri who asked that same question, mm-hmm. he says that he did Shuva on Pesach Nami. But how can he eat the Mara? Mara is part of the Korban Pesach. If he's not eating Korban Pesach, what's the difference in eating the Mara?
That's a very good question. The Rambam says like that. The Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs and the Mishnah Torah, I'm not going to count Morah as a separate mitzvah. It doesn't exist as a separate mitzvah. Morah is only part of a detail within Korban Pesach. So the Gemara, as we have it, the Gemara says, Bohu en oichel, avalechel hu b'matzah hu b'morah. And the Miri quotes other girsois that seem to correspond. That's the Rambam, avalechel hu b'matzah. It doesn't say oichel hu b'morah. He's talking not mechuyev to eat morah. Taisa's gears was alcohol hub matzah mora. Taisa seems to hold that mora was always a separate mitzvah, not like the Rambam. The Gemara just says that bisman shein beis hamikdash kayim, mora is not minatur. It's not like the Rambam understood that bisman shein beis hamikdash kayim, mora is lav deraisa, because even bisman shein beis hamikdash kayim, mora doesn't really exist as an independent mitzvah. Mora is only a detail how to fulfill the mitzvah of korban pesach. That's how the Rambam writes. But Taisa doesn't seem to agree. Taisa holds that bisman hamikdash Mora was the rice even for Tomei v'derech rechayka, even for one who's not able to eat Korban Pesach, he's mechuyev ben atara to have Mora. What is the mokar? Yeah, that's a good question. According to the Miri, here is the mokar. This pasuk is the mokar. But most of the Rishonim do not agree. Yeah, we once discussed it, I think, this year. We'll have to talk about it again some other times. Gemara in Gittin. Gemara in Gittin has based on a pasuk. The Chasam Sofer and his Chidushim HaMasechus of the Zohar raised the question, where is the Mokum? So he gives a suggestion, he's not happy with that. It's a whole discussion. What is the Mokum for that din of Gerush and Nizgar Kekot and Shana Olakon? There's a famous comment that they quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen based on a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. And today's Sedra, it says that when you bring the Korban Petzach, it says, Etzem lo sishberu vo, you're not allowed to break any bones, and that's written in the plural, lo sishberu vo. And then it says, al yot, how does it say? Lo setzi min abayis min abosa chutza. You're not allowed to take the Korban Pesach out of the bayis. The bayis echad yeyachel, lo setzi min habayis min abosa chutza, etzem lo sishberu vo. So lo tzotzi min abayis is written melosh and yochid, lo tzotzi. Etzim lo sish beru, it's in the same pasuk, chapter yud beis, pasuk mem vav. So how come one verb is written in the plural, one verb is written in the singular? So they quote from the Vilna Goyen that the mashmos of the pasuk is, like it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that ha-shever ach-ha-shever is over on a lav. Let's say there's a bone of the Korban Pesach, so it's one of the people took a heavy hammer, and he smashed the bone. He took a knife and he cut the bone. Then another person takes the exact same bone and he cuts it again a second time. So shover achas shover would also be over. You're not allowed to do shvira. Lo shishberu in the plural lo havi shover achas shover. But lo sotzi min abayis min abasa chutzah. If once you take the basar, like let's say you take the sar hakarbonis chutz l'mekayimam, so they become nipsal b'yotze. If I take the sar kotch mekalim chutz l'Yerushalayim, even if I bring it back, it'll remain osur. Or if I take Bisar Kochi Kochim Chutz Lo Azara, even if I bring it back as Nifsal B'Yotzi, he can't eat it. So here there's a special din. The Bisar Korban Pesach is eaten in Yerushalayim, but once you decide what you're going to eat, which bias, if you take it out of the bias, it becomes Nifsal B'Yotzi. Even if you bring it back into the bias, it's Osa B'Achila. So you can't have two people violate the Yisr Lo Yisoytzi Min Abayis Min Abosel Chutz. So once one person took it out, even if you bring it back in, it's nifsal yonavot. So the one who takes it out the second time isn't passing it. So he won't be in violation of the Yisr. So that's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon. That's why lo soitzi min abayis min abasachutz is written in the singular, because there is no motzi acha motzi. Etzim lo sishberu bo is written in the plural, because you can have a shever acha shever, they would both be chayiv. You have the two parshios of Tefillin. In the end of Parshas Bo, you have Kadesh Vayoki V'Yacho. You have four parshios in Tefillin. Shema V'Yom Shema. So two of the four parshios are in today's Sedra. The Pasuk has a strange expression. The Mantiyah Teras Hashem Eficho Kibiyar Chazoko Atiach Hashem Mitzrayim. You should be rogel to say Mantiyah Teras Hashem Eficho. You should always talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Teras Hashem Eficho. That's the Poshup Shah. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, totally unrelated to the Pshutah Shel Mikra. When you write, say, for Torah Tefillin on mezuzahs, when you write Divrei Torah on parchment, so the parchment has to be or Behema Tahira. Because Torah Hashem has to be Minamuta Beficha. Mantia Torah Hashem Beficha. Whenever you're writing Torah Hashem, on the Ritzuas of the Tefillin, the Gemara says there are no Divrei Torah there. The cloth that has the Parshias has Divrei Torah. The Bayis Shel Rosh has the Shin on it. So Bayis Shel Rosh, even though it only has one letter, our meaning is we have two shins. The Zohar says you have two shins. The Gemara talks about one shin on the Shel Rosh, and the Zohar talks about two shins. So if you have one letter or two letters, that's also Divrei Torah. But the Ritzuas have no Divrei Torah at all on them. So the Gemara says that how do you know the Ritzuas have to be from Or Be'emet Torah? You can't use Or Be'emet Meir. That's based on a halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Huchshul, the Malach HaShamayim, Al Or Be'emet Torah Belvad. But as far as the klaf that you write the parshias on, or the bayis shel rosh that you have the shin on, so that's, you don't need the halacha Moshe Mesina for that. L'huchshu l'malach ha-shamayim, l'or b'hem etor b'levad. That's based on the pasuk, l'manti atas Hashem b'ficha, min amuta b'ficha. That's Tosis Taina and Brachas Davov against Rashi. Rashi writes, commenting on the agarata there in Brachas, v'ro kalam mehoretz k'shem Hashem nikra alech v'yor mimeku, eva tfilin sheberosh. How does it relate to Tefillin Shel Rosh? The Rashi says because you have Tefillin Shel Rosh has the shin, and then you have the dalet in the back, And then you have the Yud and the Shal Yad. So together it spells out the Shem Hashem Shin Dalet Yud. So two out of the three letters appear in the Shal Rosh. The Shin and the Dalet are in the Shal Rosh, and the Yud is in the Shal Yad. So that's cool. Lamantia Teres. That's Vero Kolami Horetz Ki Shem Hashem Nikro Alecho. The Umas Olam will see that we're wearing tefillin that have Shin Dalet Yud on. So Taisis Tainis, if Rashi were correct that the Dalet is really a Dalet and the Yud is really a Yud, so why does the Gemara say that the Ritzuas of tefillin have to be for more behemoth Torah is based on a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim? It can't be based on the pasuk Gataras Hashem Eficha Men Amuta Beficha, because there are no divrei Torah at all. On the Shorosh there is a letter of Shin, but on the Bayi Shorosh there's a Shin, there are two Shins, but on the Ritzuas there are no letters at all. According to Rashi, you have the letters Dal and you have the letters Yud. So Taisit proves that the letters Dal and Yud, that's only a minig or the Rabbanah, whatever, that's not a real din deris. And Rashi disagrees that Kesh. Taisit holds Kesher shall tefillin halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that there should be a Kesher, but the Tzuras HaKesher, that it should be B'Tzuru Shal Dara, B'Tzuru Shal Yud, that's not halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Rashi apparently thinks not so. Rashi holds that the Shin Dalet Yud, it spells out really Shem Hashem. So that's the Kasha. How is Rashi going to answer Taisit's Kasha?
Even if it's only a minig or a din derabanan, the fact is it's still there. The pasuk's not in the Torah, the pasuk's in Navi. So if that system of tying filling that way already exists by then.
Well, what's a Navi? That what?
Real Paul Mayor's Shoshana Kala. No?
That's in Kisava, yeah. That's in Pasha's Kisava.
Somewhere. Gvarim?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was already how they tied filling. So it could be that that's the fact that Shoshana's still there, it doesn't matter whether it's in the race or not. Does it?
I mean, you're asking on Kasha and Tysis also.
Yeah.
Why does Taisus answer that you don't need the Dalet and Yud Menatara? So, but bottom line, you do have a Dalet and Yud. I don't know. Interesting. The Rambam writes that it's a Kesher B'Tzuras Dalet and a Kesher B'Tzuras Yud. The Rambam holds that it's not a Dalet and it's not a Yud. Rambam sounds like you hold that it's Deraisa, like Rashi. But it's not. The Shin on the Shal Rosh is a Shin. And the Dalet is a Kesher that looks like a Dalet, and the Yud is a Kesher that looks like a, not that it's a Dalet and a Yud. So according to the Rambam, you have no Oisius. It's just a Kesher that looks like a Dal, Kesher that looks like a Yud. That's what Adolfo Soloveitchik suggests in his Sefer on the Rambam, to save the Rambam from Tosfos Kash. Then you have the din of Petach Hamor. It's a rare occasion that you do Pinyon Petach Hamor. You have two mitzvahs, either Pinyon Petach Hamor or Arifo. Loisivta v'arafto. The Mishnah in the end of the first parak in Bechoris writes that mitzvahs pidyon kodemis le mitzvahs arifa. Preferable is, that's how it says in the parsha, preferable is to do pidyon petach hamor. If lo sifte, if he doesn't want to do pidyon, then you do arifa. Then you chop off its neck. How do you do pidyon petach hamor? So the Gemara says there are two ways. The Chumash only has one. The Gemara adds on another way. Tifte b'seh. You can give a seh, even if the seh is worth much less than the petach hamor. Let's say the seh is only worth $5, petach hamor is worth $50. So you can be yotze tifta b'seh. Then the Gemara says, you can be yotze by giving canned goods. You can give cooked food also, if it's b'shavyo. You can be paid the b'shlokas, if it's b'shavyo. The Chumash says tifta b'seh, that's even if it's shalom b'shavta. If you give a seh that's alive, then you have pidyon petach hamor, shalom b'shavyo. But whenever you're doing b'shavyo, you can give other things as well. This pinyon petach hamor that's done, does this indicate, let's say, pinyon maaser sheni, pinyon hegdish? So before you do the pinyon hegdish, it's also to eat the hegdish. Before you do the pinyon maaser sheni, it's prohibited to eat the maaser sheni chutz li Yerushalayim. So do we assume that the pinyon petach hamor, tifta b'seh, is in order to remove the issa hanor, that the petach hamor koidem pinyon is also b'hanor? Or do you say no? It's like pinyon aben. The Gemara says pinyon aben, the baby is not also b'hanor. Before you do the pidyon aben, it's a mitzvah to do pidyon aben. So maybe over here also, here it's a mitzvah to do tifta b'seh, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the petach hamor was also manon before I did the tifta b'seh. So that's a machlokes hatanaim at the end of the first parak in Bechoris. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. We paskin that it is also banon. The petach hamor koyed in pidyon is also banon. But the Gemara says beferish on that daf at the end of the first parak in Bechoris that by pidyon aben is not so. The baby is muta banon before you do the pidyon. The problem is that some of the Achrayim write not so. The Maharil writes like that, and the Svarna writes, and a few others write like that. That it's not proper for the parents to play with their baby before they do the pinyon aben. They should treat the baby as if he's asabano before they do the pinyon aben. And then the Tziv likes it. he goes for this idea from the Acharein. It's very difficult. They all ask. It's against the Pharisee Gemara. The Gemara in that daf, where they have the machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon by Pinyon Petach Amor, whether the Pinyon indicates that it was also Bano beforehand or not. So it says Beferish that by Pinyon Aben it's only a mitzvah to give the money. It doesn't indicate that it was also Bano beforehand. I saw a discussion. The Ponim office has a discussion on Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro, "Gamato titein biyadenu zvachim biyolos v'asinu al Hashem alakenu." You're also, I'm going to ask you also to give karbanos. At the end of the day, he never gave any karbanos. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu's havamin in the first place? The din is that a muktzah v'nevad is also b'hakrovim. If you have an animal that was worshipped, if you have an animal that someone worshipped as a deity, as an avodah zarah, it's not also b'hanoah. Balechai manat nesor mitam avodah zarah. But nonetheless, it's pasul hakrova gam yamizbech muktzah v'nevad. Muktzah means it was designated to be worshipped, and nevad means that they actually did worship it. So in Mitzrayim, it says it was tavis Mitzrayim. Hein nizbach l'Hashem alkeinu tavis Mitzrayim v'lo yiskiluna li'aneim. So the pasuk says that the Mitzrayim used to worship live animals. So how did Moshe Rabbeinu? How was Moshe Rabbeinu not concerned? Gamato titein v'yaden zvachim v'yolos. He really meant it. He expected at the end of the day, the Ramban has all this discussion. At the end of the day, he didn't take any karbonis from Paro. But how did Moshe Rabbeinu even suggest it in the first place? Maybe the behemoth would be muktzah v'nevad. So the Ponim Yofis poses this question. So he gives an answer. I thought the answer was against the halacha. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say, I want you to give us karbonis that we should give to the Jewish God. So if Paro is going to give them a behema, means that he's mevatel avodah zarah. Paro used to worship these, even if he did worship these animals, even if it was a mukta v'nevad, but the minute he gives it to Moshe Rabbeinu to bring as a korban lagavaya, so the giving it to Moshe Rabbeinu is an act of bitul. So I was wondering, is that true? Naniach, the giving it is an act of bitul. You only need bitul if it's also b'hanoah beforehand. Here, behema balachayim are not nesa b'hanoah anyway. And nonetheless, it's pasul agavai because it's moes, because it was once involved in avodah zarah. So what's it going to help if you're going to be mevatel it? Your mevatel it is still going to be, it's still going to be pasul agavai. It's still going to be moes agavai. If you go through the gemaras in maseches avodah zarah, I think bitl. I thought that bitl doesn't help to make it kosher lahakrova. But bitl only helps if it's not a balchai. If the nochri deified dova hamitalton and became osav anoh. So if the Nachri is Mevatlet, it becomes Muta Bahano. But if it's Pasa Lagavaya, what does it help that you're going to be Mevatlet? It was Muta Bahano anyway. The aim is anyway not Nessa.
Even though it's Mevatlet, isn't it also even Mevatlet
Yeah. Whatever was once used for Avodah Zarah, what does it help that you're Mevatlet? The behemoth is not also b'hanoah, and still it's pasulam is bad, pasul hakrova. So why is it going to make it better if he's mevatlet? That's what the Ponim Yofis answers. I'm just wondering, I thought it's not correct. I saw there's a fascinating sefer. Rabbi Nachum Zember had a son who was around 20 years old who was engaged to get married, and then he died. Yeah, so before he got married, he died. So he was so heartbroken, Rabbi Nachum Zember. So Rabbi Nachum Zember was killed in the war by the Nazis. In the Warsaw Ghetto. So his son was also, he was a super goyin. He was a goyna goyin. And he had a son who was very talented, so he put out this sefer by his son, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. His son's name was Yehuda Leib. So the son has a whole section on Korban Pesach, very fascinating things. Very fascinating shaila. So he quotes the following discussion. In Shulchan Aruch it says, if you find chametz in your home on Pesach, so you're not allowed to burn the chametz on Pesach. So the Shulchan Aruch says, get a nochri to burn the chametz. So Rabbi Kivegra is bothered with Akasha. If I get a nochri to burn the chametz, I'm not yotze the mitzvah of tashbisu. Don't you have to burn it yourself? Rabbi Kivegra affect Akasha. So he says, Risi b'avnei nezer. He doesn't tell you where. He says the avnei nezer answers somewhere that if the nature of the mitzvah is to get rid of. To get rid of the chametz, so if you get rid of the yakum, you're also yotze the mitzvah. So he wants to know what's a din if you do Sreifas Noisar Agdei Nachri. It says in the Chumash that if you have leftover Korban Pesach, a Noisar Man Adbok of Eish Disrofu, do you have to burn, does the Jew have to burn the Noisar in person? Or can you have the super in the Beis HaMikdash? You have a Goisha super. Usually you have a Goisha super, you need a Shabbos Goy. So you have a Goisha super in the Beis HaMikdash. Can you ask the super, please burn the Noisar? Would that be okay? So he says, maybe just like the Avnei Nezer says that you yotze the mitzvah of Tashbisu by having a Nochri burn the chametz, maybe you yotze the mitzvah of Sreifas Neiser also by having a Nochri burn the chametz. Why? Because the Gemara in Psochim and Av Chav Ches puts the two together. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yude, it says, Ein ber chametz ala b'sreifa, learns it out from Sreifas Neiser. So he says, maybe just like the Avnei Nezer defended the practice of the Shulchan Aruch, that you can be yotze the mitzvahs Tashbisu by Sreifa Sachamiz Aide Akum, so maybe it's the mitzvah of Sreifa Snoisa also Aide Akum. But he's not sure. Interesting. Then he has other discussions, fascinating discussions, on all on details of Korban Pesach. Yeah, the Din Nivsik said, Kol Machmetzus Lo Sachelu. So the Ramam and the Sefer Mitzvahs counts that as a separate lav. You're not allowed to eat Taruvas Chametz. And the Ramban, and then the Ramam says, but if you eat Taruvas Chametz, there's no Koris. So that's what the Ramban asks. He doesn't understand. If the Taruvas Chametz is Kadais B'Tachilas Pras, so why isn't that Koris? There should be Koris also. Tam Kiker. Elamai, well, it's not nice and Tam, so it should be Mutam and Atur. What kind of an Isser is this? That's a problematic Rambam. That the Rambam counts as a separate Lois Essay. You're not allowed to eat Chametz is one lab, then you're not allowed to eat Taruvas Chametz is another lab. And he says, on this Taruvas Chametz, that there's no Koris. Why shouldn't there be Chametz? If it's talking about Tam Kiker, there should be Koris. Why does he say there's no Koris? So that's a famous Rambam. The Achrayim had different suggestions. The Vilna Gaon has one suggestion, the Kavis HaMishnah has a different suggestion. What exactly is the Rambam driving at by this? He has it in the Mishnah Torah also. But it's mainly in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Okay. Again, I want to mention that this Sunday I have to go to an early wedding. The fellow waited 58 years to get married, but now he's in such a rush. So he has to get married at 12 o'clock.